Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger. Joining me, below me with his scratchy microphone, is Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, Brian.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And then over one over, Mike Lane from the Music, Movies, and More podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
And then last but not least is Mr. Matt Maisto, the writer, producer, director of Mondo Creepy, not Mondo Creepy TV. I was going back listening to our old episodes and I constantly got it wrong. It's Mondo Creepy, available on YouTube or Facebook.
Hello, greetings, Matt. And salutations. Hello.
What's going on? So let's, I thought we haven't done this podcast, Brian, in since September.
Yeah.
And I thought we would talk about, like, I mean, I think I'm trying to, we have a new name for the podcast. I even shared like some new artwork with Brian, but it's just a matter of going in and changing it all on Libsyn because that's our hosting thing. And I'm really confused. Brian, you got to hold your damn thing.
I have it in my hand.
You do. All right. Does everybody else? Is anybody? And I'm not the only one that hears that, right? It's scratchy stuff.
I hear it. Yeah.
So there you go. Must be. I don't know. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's the wire itself.
I don't know.
Where's your microphone? Is it right here?
Right here.
Okay, so that's the thing you're talking into. All right, maybe just try that. So anyway, we were thinking about renaming the podcast. So I don't know. We'll see the next couple of weeks. But now we're back. So whatever. So how you been, Spears? You're working. You're working, right?
I'm working. Yeah, I've been. I did a month worth of work in the shop, or about a month, maybe more. And now I'm on set. I'm on a secret location. In a bubble kind of thing.
You're not in the bubble now. Right now you're at home. You got
off, because it's a low budget movie, so they don't pay for us to be in the bubble because it's a holiday.
How many COVID tests have you had like over the last month?
I get tested 3 times a week.
Wow.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been tested now, I mean, probably 20, over 20 times.
Is it the easy test, Brian?
Or
the
what?
Is it the nose test?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now like we self-administer it, You know, like you do it, you swab your nose and you put it into the vial that they, you know, it's all.
You're not like jabbing it all the way up like the.
No, you gotta get it in there, because if you don't go in there, then it could be an inconclusive test and then you're losing a day, or, you know, it screws everything up. So, I mean, I've done enough of them where they do it. Where they go like touch your brain. But even that's kind of like, that was the beginning of all this. And now they've like refined how to do it, I guess.
They don't go quite that deep, right? Yes, they told my kid.
You got to go in 5 seconds on each nostril, you know, really get in there and then move to the next one and put it in a vial. And we've been getting our tests in about a day, like results. Now, listen, I'm a lucky guy. I work. It's only because I work with talent. You know, I'm sure it's and rightfully so, I'm happy to have all these tests. But, I mean, I'm sure it's an insurance thing so they can keep shooting. It is a little frustrating to have to keep doing it, but I get that we have to do it. Like, and I'm lucky that I get to do it.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that you get all those tests and then, like, our public schools don't have any of them.
Listen, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right, because if a kid sneezes, he's sent home and told to go get a COVID test. I'm not paying for these COVID tests. You know what I mean? It's all part of the job. So it's like, it blows my mind that, yes, I've had 20, and then every kid in school, they go home because somebody might have it in the school, but they don't make the whole school get tested. You know, it's like,
and then everybody brags about how low the transmission rate is in schools where they're not testing anybody.
We did shut down for a day on this job.
Oh yeah.
All for inconclusive results, because there was a mishap at the lab. So we shut down because they weren't, there was two, like a couple. I didn't listen to it, to be honest. They went and made an announcement and everything. They put it in our emails. Told exactly what happened. I don't care. I get tested. That's all I care about. I'm wearing so much crap, face shields, masks. I've doused in hand sanitizer and alcohol. I mean, everything I paint with is 99% alcohol based. So, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm pretty clean when we're working. And with that many tests that I have, and also three different, you know, if I did one job, like a couple months, like before I went into this movie, I would do like maybe 2 to 3 jobs at a time. Each job required a COVID test. So like the one COVID, I would go for 3 in a week because I was doing 3 different jobs.
That's crazy. So like, that's awesome though. I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Safety first, man, you know?
I mean, hopefully another couple of months of this and, you know, come springtime or whatever, we'll be out of it, I hope, but who knows?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm lucky I'm in this bubble, but then I see everyone that's not in the bubble and I just want to kill them all, but that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if there was less testing, there'd be less COVID. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I mean, and we think like the last time we recorded was late September. I mean, there's been the election. You know, Donald Trump lost, although he hasn't said so yet. You know, I don't know. But I kind of feel, I thought the election was depressing, the aftermath. Just the fact that, you know, Trump wasn't repudiated in any way. And I'm worried about what comes next. And we kind of talk about this some of on our, it's not, nothing to do with the Mobile Horror Companion. But I'm worried if we manage to elect a reality star as president, and then more people voted for him after 4 years of what we've been going through, I don't know what we're going to elect in 4 years. Like, I mean, you know, is it, we were talking about Beyond the Mat, but Dark Side of the Ring. Is it going to be, what's his name? New Jack? Is New Jack going to be, is he running? Is he going to be the Republican nominee? How far, how extreme can we go? That's what I'm depressed about. You're scratching something awful, Brian. I don't know what the hell that is, but I wonder if it's just that your thing moving.
I think it's the hands.
It's like he's, it's almost like you're scratching this, sandpaper.
All right. I don't know what to tell you, man.
I wonder why that is. But anyway. So I thought we'd also talk about, there's the election thing. And anyone weigh in on that? I just kind of, I got my t-shirt here for whatever.
Well, Kane from the WWE, AKA the brother of The Undertaker, is now a mayor in Tennessee, of a town in Tennessee. So that's good for anything's you. Possible.
Yeah, right. He'll be elected next. But just in terms of stuff we've been watching lately, I thought we would talk a second about what people have been watching. And I've been on a binge. I'm doing the $5 or whatever it is for Hulu with ads. And the first thing I watched was, what's it called? The Teacher, which I guess is on FX. I didn't really need the Hulu thing for it. I thought it was a Hulu exclusive. But this is the one about the teacher who has an affair with her high school student.
And, Kate Mara.
Kate Mara. And
the Giants fame of the Giants fame, right? Of the Mara family?
The Mara family.
Really? I never knew that. I just learned that. Wow. Okay. So, it's awful. It's just a soap opera. I don't know even know if I'll watch the rest of it. But the thing that I saw, I think today, was either
today. Wait, can I just ask a question? Because I haven't seen it. Uh-huh. Is that kid supposed to be in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, he looks like he's 32. Well, you know. It's like they got Jason Priestley's older brother to play him.
He's 18, according to, you know, in the movie.
Oh, he's 18?
Well, I don't know what he is in real life, but that's what he is in the show. But it's not worth watching, but I just thought I would throw it out there. The Dana Carvey documentary. Did you
watch
that?
That's awesome. Watched that. That is so, I just watched that 2 days ago.
Oh, my God. It is hilarious. And it just tells the story of you know, that show. And the only thing I remember about that show, I remember watching it when it first came on. But I think, like, I guess most of America, I turned it off right after the Bill Clinton breastfeeding bit, which I distinctly remember as being disgusting. Like, it wasn't funny. But yeah, it's really, that's highly recommended. Steve Carroll, what's his name from Colbert? No Louis C.K. He's mentioned, but they don't interview Louis C.K., but a hell
tons of Triumph the Insult comic guy.
Yeah, what's his name again? What's that writer's name? I'm blanking on it.
Head writer on Saturday Night Live.
Too. Yeah, that guy.
And Conan.
Yeah.
And he was a co-creator of the show with Robert Smigel?
Smigel.
Robert Smigel. Yeah. He was really good. So I highly recommend that. Then I finally saw, I guess I'm like a decade late, but the Gilbert Gottfried documentary, which is just tremendous. And like,
I need to see that.
Oh, it's so good. And
it's on Hulu, right? I just added that.
It's really good. And, you know, and actually there's some Stern in it. you know, because when you look back, Stern was the guy that always did those great. I mean, other than Gilbert being completely insane on Stern, but remember when Stern would always ask him like how cheap he was and like what's his routine like? So they draw on a lot of that. So that Stern's not interviewed specifically. Artie is. And it's like Artie right before his nose completely blew up. He, you know, you could see dry blood in it. It's very disturbing. But I'd recommend that.
The first time I ever heard Gilbert's actual voice was from the Howard Stern show when they played that message he left.
Of his real voice.
Oh, right. His real voice. And it was like, it was shocking because it's like, well, you didn't think it was the same person.
Yeah, there's so much good in this documentary because, you know, he let them into his apartment. And there's some like, you know, his wife and kids, just how normal they are. And like he has this really nice relationship with his sisters. It's really good. So
I gotta check that out. That's on my list.
I haven't seen the documentary. I'd like to see it, but Gilbert Gottfried is incredibly successful, not only as a comedian, but movies and voiceover work. I mean, he's been constantly working since he was 15 years old.
And now he's like the king of Cameo as well. He's killing it on Cameo.
Is he still on there? I thought he like wanted a ton of money for it. I didn't realize he's still doing it.
Last I checked, he was still doing it.
I like his podcast. His podcast is great. Yeah. There's been some really good episodes.
He's such a fan. He's such a fan of those old-time horror movies.
He's a total geek.
And he's a real monster kid.
He's definitely got Asperger's.
His best thing was on Stern was he harassed Amy Heckerling, the director's maid. I guess she was of Jewish descent, like during Germany. And he heckled her the whole time during a dinner table. If you can ever look that up and find it on YouTube, it is by far the funniest thing. Or any time, and it's totally politically incorrect, but if you can find any time he did dice on the Channel 9 show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
probably some of the greatest bits of all time. And if you can find, I think it's Herb Hirschfelder or something like that. He calls in Stern. He calls him in from prison and he tells some dumb joke. And Gilbert's like, hey, we didn't hit record. Can you say the joke again? And he does it like 100 times. Like, ah, shit, we didn't record it again. Can you say it again, but this time louder? And they do it literally like
a. Was it Al Goldstein?
No, it's like some Herb Hirschfelder. I can't.
Yeah, I forgot.
Herb, Abe, something like that. I want to say it's the guy that, you know, from Ferris Bueller. Like, hey, it's the sausage king. Like it's the sausage king, but it's something weird. He says it. It's a guy that called in it.
Abe Froman.
Help or something. You know, it's very classic. It's incredible, funny Gilbert.
So that's really good. And then we've talked about this a little bit on the chat there. Fargo, the new season of Fargo with Chris Rock and whoever plays the Irishman. It's good. I won't say any spoilers. It's just about wrapping up. I don't know how many more episodes there are. But
I'm waiting so I could do it all in one day.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant, if that's how you say his name.
That's how you say it.
Pretty much steals the show, and you know he's really good in it. He doesn't have a huge part, but he's very, very good. And I guess that brings us to the other one, and maybe we could all weigh in here: The Mandalorian. I've just
so the Oliphant kicks ass in that first episode.
Yeah, he does.
What'd you say? Hey, wait, what?
He like kicks ass, Timothy Oliphant. I like flipped out when I saw him in that.
Yeah, he's really good in that. And I'm just like, I don't know. That show's, it's just damn entertaining. It's like it's the purest entertainment on TV right now. You know, I mean, like Fargo's good, but it's dark. You know, it's depressing. It's very cinematic.
I watch it with my nephew. So it's kind of like, it just reminds me of Star Wars.
Yeah, I think that's what makes the show so successful is they're not overthinking it. They're really just going for what feels like the original Star Wars trilogy. And they're trying to hit those beats or like trying to like find those moments within every episode. And like, it just works that way. Like on that level, it just works. They're not getting too deep with character development or crazy tangents as far as each episode goes. I mean, there's like some very nerdy Star Wars stuff that goes on, but it just hits these beats that just feels like Star Wars, and that's all they're doing. And just sort of restoring the dignity to the franchise after the new trilogy just kind of beat the crap out of it.
Is everybody caught up? Did everybody see the latest episode?
Yes.
I did. I don't know. Brian, have you seen it? Yeah. Cool. We've all seen it. Oh, all right. I should have led with this. But yeah, Rosario Dawson, huh? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Jeez. Okay.
Fantastic.
Listen, I worked, I didn't work with her, but Rosario Dawson was often on Marvel sets. I think she's like one of the most beautiful women in the world. Holy cow. And then to see her in this, that was kind of cool.
And she nailed just not only the physicality of the role, but the voice.
Yeah.
She had just the personality of I know Ahsoka Tano from the cartoons, you know? And
yeah, yeah, where's she from?
None of that.
She's Clone Wars?
She's from Clone Wars and Rebels.
Okay.
And she just, it's even if you haven't seen the cartoons, it doesn't matter because, you know, she's that good. But if you did see the cartoon, it's an extra bonus just based on Dawson's performance.
Now her backstory is that like she was
the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, and then he goes evil and she was like, well, that's why she's off on her own.
Well, she leaves the Jedi Order before that stuff happens because she sees the Order sort of becoming this other sort of dangerous thing where, you know, hey, they're now spying on senators and things like that, and they're becoming very arrogant. And there was sort of playing this gray area that she didn't want anything to do with. So she said, screw you guys, I'm out.
And she's not a Jedi.
No, she's not a Jedi.
Exactly, yeah.
How is she not a Jedi?
Because she stopped all that training, but she still, like, you know, did her own thing. Like, she's probably more evil than a Jedi. Like, she's more renegade.
And she's like the Mandalorian.
I spent the day watching stupid YouTube videos today about all of the Mandalorian stuff.
And so, and what was it implied that so Baby Yoda or Gorga, whatever his name is now,
Grogu.
So is it implying that he was in the like the Jedi orphanage, whatever it was, when Anakin came and killed everybody?
Somebody hid him away and snuck him out.
So, and how about Michael Bean? Brief Michael cameo. Bain,
yeah,
I don't know why he's got to dye his hair.
Screw that.
I don't know what that guy's trying to hide.
Wait, why aren't we still talking about Timothy Oliphant in the freaking Boba Fett outfit? That was like the coolest thing in the world.
I thought it was a little cringy to me. I mean, I liked it. I bought it after a while, but I don't still like they had, you know, maybe Boba Fett is around. Is that what they're implying? Or it's
he
a clone?
Is. You see him in the last shot of the episode.
Yeah, but I was confused. He could be a clone. He could be an older clone. We don't know yet, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Now that's him. That's him at the end of the episode.
Or even if it's not, it killed the Boba Fett like mystery. It just meant, all right, it's just an outfit. Like, I thought that was so cool.
Well, a lot of that
he played another sheriff, and that the barkeep is the dude.
It's the guy from Deadwood.
Beans from Deadwood.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, Mike Lane, you had messaged on Facebook being like, oh, he plays a marshal. I hadn't seen The Mandalorian when you had made that comment a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, the guy's a marshal in everything he plays. But I went back, speaking of Oliphant, I went back and watched again Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And now when I watch it, I find myself fast forwarding just to all the Leonardo DiCaprio parts now. Like I just watched the movie, just his scenes. And his scene with Timothy Oliphant in that bar when they're redoing the
that's the best scene in the movie.
Oh, God, it's so good. You know, just that whole... I love that movie. Now I watch it again and again and again and again. But now I'm like, Leonardo DiCaprio is the best thing in the movie, you know?
I don't think people really appreciate, like, how good of a performance that is, because basically what he's doing is, here's an actor playing an actor who's supposed to be not that good of an actor, and then he's, like, nervous and freaking out that he's a bad actor.
Yeah, it's
It's just these layers upon layers in that performance, and I don't think a lot of people really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that guy should have gotten every damn award there was.
The stutter too. He does that awesome stutter.
He's got he's so good. And I don't know. That's one of those movies now that I'll just go back and watch again and again. And just like the very end, like after he after he pulls out the flamethrower, you know, then he meets his neighbor finally. And he's just like, oh, yeah, I burned her to a crisp. It's so dumb, but it's so hilarious. But anyway, that's been the other thing that I've watched is just the last 2 days is Dark Side of the Ring, also on Hulu, originally on Vice, but I hadn't really seen them. And that's outstanding. I mean, yeah. Jimmy Snuka, I'm really disappointed in Jimmy Snuka though, because he was like one of my childhood idols. You know, I had the Jimmy Snuka, whatever it was, those things they show over and over again, you know, the giant foam hand I think I got from watching the WWF at the West.
If you could find the clip of the infamous Piper's Pit episode that he was
with the coconut. Yeah,
with the coconut. You can find it. There are a couple of interviews where they interview Piper and he talks about what happened behind the scenes. And a lot of people say that, like, after the coconut incident, Snuka was never the same again. Like, he probably really took some real brain damage from that shot. And he was just really, like, he was messed up to begin with from doing one too many flying headbutts off of the top rope to begin with. But, like, that was the thing that really kind of changed him after that.
Yeah, and then you look back at what these guys looked like. I mean, the amount of growth hormone and steroids those
there was no testing.
Cocaine!
Yeah,
they were just all on cocaine and drinking.
They all look like Schwarzenegger. They all look like, He-Man, like the action figure. Like Snuka, he's just, you know, so, I mean, God, that guy must have been so messed up. But those, they're outstanding too. But
there's also, if you could find it, about 20 years ago, Snuka was on an episode of Opie and Anthony. And he's super slow and he can't even, they're trying to get him to do some live reads. And there's just no way that he can pull it off. He's just not there at all, dude. There's just nobody home.
I mean, and speaking of not there, I mean, as we're recording this, I mean, tonight Mike Tyson is fighting Roy Jones Jr.
That's already?
Which is just, it's tonight.
For the low price of $50.
$50. I thought, I was like, let's see I wonder if they've, but there's the weigh-in. I don't think I think it's a West Coast thing. Oh, yeah. So, no, it hasn't happened yet, but that's just depressing.
There's a bunch of fights before that,
including Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
What?
No, I think it's like his brother.
Celebrity fight?
Oh, is it?
Brother. It's Jake Paul.
Oh, Jake Paul. Yeah.
Not even Logan Paul.
Same thing.
But what about you guys? What have you guys been watching? Because I don't want to dominate the whole thing. I got to step away. I'm listening, but I got to step away.
Well, speaking of Hulu, I watched the Tekashi 6ix9ine documentary on Hulu.
Is it good?
It's really good.
I gotta check that out.
It's everything about internet fame that I detest.
My kid loves him.
And of course he does. It gets to the heart of the matter where this guy is not a good rapper. And even he tells people, like, my music is trash. My videos are fire. And it's just about how quickly this guy can get famous. But what really blew my mind is one of the people that they interview is an assistant editor at Complex Magazine, who's a dude I went to high school with, who I actually used to be in a band with, a guy named Sean Sotero. And it just like completely blew my mind because he was just like the whitest white guy like you ever knew in high school. And now he's working as an associate editor at Complex Magazine. And here he is talking about this rapper.
So do they go into like how he ratted out his friends and he got
into the whole thing from the beginning of the story, from when he was like 16 years old, just working at the local neighborhood bodega. And he had friends that were rappers and he tried to, you know, get into the game with them. And then he's like, screw this. I'm just going to do stuff for shock value. He started making his own clothes with the words just HIV on him and things like that, just for shock value. And everything that the guy did was about shock value and just trying to get as much fame as possible out of it.
Is he still alive? He's not dead.
He's
yet.
Still alive. He's
he'll be
out
dead
of
soon,
jail.
Though, right?
He's got a ton of security around him. Now he's still trying to have a career again. He's trying to justify in his mind ratting those guys out. Like, well, you know, they tried to kidnap me and steal my money, so screw them. But in the rap world, that is like being a rat is the like being in the mafia. It's like the absolute worst thing you could be.
He's gonna stick to YouTube. All right, what else have you been watching, Matt? Anything else in the last month or so?
The other night I watched the Diego Maradona documentary again.
We're Americans.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Sorry.
As a soccer fan, it's just, it's a fascinating thing. Imagine the talent of Michael Jordan with Doc Gooden's drug problem. And that's Diego Maradona.
Man. Well, yeah. And I'm maybe a half hour into the documentary, I didn't know Diego Maradona from anything. I'm not a big sports fan, and I'm certainly not that well informed with soccer. And so far, it's such a great documentary, but he was one of those guys, at least outside of the United States, outside of soccer fans, he transcended the sport.
Yeah. And he's like a Muhammad Ali type figure.
Yes. And you can see that just based on the reaction all around the world after his death, just the mourning that's going on.
Well, he was also a communist, pretty much. I mean, he was buddy buddies with Hugo Chavez right before Chavez died.
And he had mafia connections when he was in Italy as well, right?
Most likely, that's the only way that Napoli, because Napoli was a dirt poor team, that they ever could have afforded him, is if the mafia version in southern Italy is called the Camorra. Yeah. They most likely bankrolled him. But once he got to Naples, once he got to Napoli, like the Camorra guys, they sunk their claws into him. Like, oh, you're into cocaine? Here you go. Have all you want.
Yeah.
And sunk their claws into him.
I'm up to, they just covered the historical relevance to his goal against
the hand of God, the hand of God.
What was that goal? And then when he just like ran past all the defenders and scored the best goals ever.
That was right after the hand of God.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm up to that part. So that's really all I know. But so far,
for those of you guys that don't know, the hand of God was basically the officials thought that he headbutted the ball into the net in the World Cup, but he actually fisted it. But you couldn't see it because it was like concealed on the other side. And basically he just punched the ball in with his hand and he got cheated. Away with it. He cheated and he got away with it.
Son of a
Matt, you don't have to explain it to me. You lost me when you guys said soccer. So I nodded out.
I will say though, if
did he marry a Spice Girl or no?
No.
But even if you're not a soccer fan or a sports fan, just the human story so far. Good.
Yeah. Again, like a real sports on HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on
or
HBO.
30 by 30.
It's anybody see the Belushi doc?
Not yet. Good.
Yeah.
So it good, feels like it's
happy good too. It's not like, because hey, we all know how it ends.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't dwell on that. It's all kind of like first person interviews, and they sort of narrate it with pictures, and like string it along together with some animation. It's well done.
Did you guys watch Borat?
Yeah. Yes. I liked it. I mean, you know,
it wasn't as good as the first one. It was funny, but it wasn't as good.
It's like you can only do that concept maybe once, right? Yeah. But I mean, it was, you know, it was needed in the political climate. It was nice to see something like that happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine.
And the band has a doc on the on Hulu.
What We Were Brothers or something like that?
Is
that
the one? Okay, I started that. I'm almost done.
Now this Belushi. The Belushi doc, I read somewhere that like, okay, so Wired, you know, the Bob Woodward book concentrated on what like an animal he was at the end. And it was almost like, it was sensationalized.
I love it.
Yeah.
Or just, it actually wasn't, I mean, it wasn't sensationalized, but it just concentrated on Belushi, the drug addict.
Yes.
In the final days. But this is like nicer than that, right? Or this is more like that book that came out, that oral history that came out that his wife did, right?
It's basically an oral history. But, you know, it doesn't dwell, like, listen, they all mention, oh, yeah, he was going nuts then. You know what I mean? There's times like that. But it doesn't dwell on, you know, they don't go into his last.
They're
you know,
still protecting him. And I don't understand why, after all these years, they just can't come. Like, everybody knows. The book's been out. The movie was out.
Sure. I mean, but it just showed, like, a nice, like, what you all, why I like John Belushi. I mean, I'm fascinated by the drug.
The wife says that they've just concentrated too much over the years on the drug part of him, that they've missed who he was.
That's fair.
So I like this because it doesn't hide that he overdosed and they all miss him and they cried. But this is, you know, it's Dan Aykroyd really talking, you know, and they animate it. They tell stories. They show it through pictures. It's a nice remembrance. Yeah, it might be a little puffy. It might be a little like nice to him. But I don't know. Like, I just watched one which was like on YouTube, you know, his last 3 days, which is just, you know.
I have a TV. It's actually this TV right next to me. You put it on and it just automatically goes to the Reels channel, which is just celebrity. It's the Anna Nicole story on a loop over and over.
Or the John Gotti story on a loop.
It's like, and it's really cheaply done, you know.
Yeah,
and it's
just like every enactment of a guy like doing cocaine off a mirror. Like, we all know that. And I mean, that's what fascinates me. But it shows him like being funny, like doing the Joe Cocker. But the first time he did it, like, you know,
He was doing Lemmings. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's nice. It's, you know, that whole Saturday Night Live, you know, they go into stuff where he was being difficult, but hey, man, it's just nice to see him smile sometimes.
One of my all-time favorite quotes is in the book, though, when Woodward interviews a guy named Michael O'Donohue, who was the head writer of Saturday, head writer of Saturday Night Live. He said, Belushi just wanted to grab the world by the throat and snort it.
Damn.
Love that. I just always like the imagery of that. Just love that quote.
What up, Mike Lane? What have you been watching? Anything?
I've been watching a lot of stuff. I guess on the Mandalorian front, I did watch for kicks the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
I watched it.
I haven't seen that. Is it good?
It was fantastic. I didn't think I would enjoy it at all, but it was really well done. And without giving anything away, it picks up where Rise of Skywalker leaves off. That's all I'll say about it. It was so good. It was nice and lighthearted because it was Legos. It was for kids, but it was clever as well. So it was clever.
I just didn't like the fact that it was, you know, all about the new trilogy stuff. I just hate the new trilogy. But that's just a personal preference. But it was well done.
Yeah.
I saw that was on, and then I went up and looked like on the kids' first day off, the original Star Wars special. I did watch a couple of minutes of that with them, and you know, just to show my son how wacky it was. And I mean, yeah, it is like the beginning of it is just so incredibly bad where you're just
with the just Wookiees for 10 minutes growling.
Wookiees. Yeah.
How were they thinking?
I couldn't make it past that when like,
what was it on?
It's on YouTube. You can just look it up on YouTube.
All right. Cause I was like, I didn't think they put that on.
Yeah.
Disney.
No, it's like, yeah, it's all over the place. Okay, but anyway, yeah, Mike, yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. I just wanted to say
that. So that was good. I finished all of the episodes of Schitt's Creek, and what I liked, I love Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. I grew up watching them. But what I liked most about the show, that it was kind of like a warm blanket with everything that's going on. I can just kind of watch it. It was lighthearted, but it was clever, and it never took itself seriously. It had like a little serious moments every once in a while, but it never took those serious moments so over the top. It was never like that very special episode trap that some shows would fall into. So it was very clever, very well done. And Catherine O'Hara was probably the best part of the show, along with Daniel Levy, who's Eugene Levy's son. And
it's his show, right?
Yeah, he's the writer, showrunner.
Yeah, he invented it. He created it. Along with his father. So that was, I watched all the seasons and that was very good, very lighthearted. And then I also watched movie-wise, I know I texted you guys about it, but Jim Jarmusch's Dead Don't Die. And I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed. I'm a big zombie fan and I was just very disappointed about the whole movie. It was one of those movies where it was like, hey, everybody, we're weird. We're a weird movie. Look how weird we are, kind of thing. And it had so much potential. It just didn't go anywhere. So that's, I was disappointed with that.
It's sad, but I think Jarmusch's kind of best days are behind him as a director. And that's exactly what it's become. It's, oh, look at all the cool cameo people, all these cool indie people that are showing up for a cameo. And we're still weird. We're still hip and indie. And that's really all it is. These days. Like the last handful of his movies have been like that.
I don't think I've seen any Jarmusch movies. This might have been the first one.
Really?
No. Yeah. Ghost Dog?
Seen Down by Law?
Ghost Dog?
Oh, he did Ghost Dog? I like Ghost Dog. I like Ghost Dog. Okay. All right.
Ghost Dog, Flowers. Down by Law is a good one.
He did that Dead Man with
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
You didn't see that. I want to see that. I heard that was good.
It's pretty arty.
So, I read the script. The script was good.
You got to be high, I think, to enjoy it. You know, what you mentioned about Schitt's Creek being like a warm blanket. Like I had that since this pandemic began with first The Office, I went back and rewatched. And then Brian, at your suggestion, I gave Community a chance on Netflix because all of those are on there, you know, and I've run out of stuff to watch and I don't want anything heavy. Like I don't want to watch a horror movie.
I want something that I can fall asleep to. And then if I feel like it, I can go back to the ones I missed. But if you missed one or two, Who cares?
That's I probably missed a half a season. And I didn't even, actually, in like the last when they went to, I guess by the end, they were on like Yahoo. Yeah. I skipped like five of them and just went to the very last episode. But it won me over. Like and it was, again, that was another show. Like even The Office had like, they got kind of soapy, you know, obviously with the marriages. And then like, you know, Andy Bernard's getting married and Dwight's getting married. Like Community had none of that. And it was almost
a very
kind of
dark show.
Yeah, it's almost
I
like an
FU. Harmontown. It's a documentary on the creator, Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
And it just shows him on a comedy tour. He meets a dungeon master. He just gets drunk and his girlfriend yells at him. He's a mess. He fights with everyone. That
Does he talk shit about Chevy Chase?
Oh, yeah. But also, Chevy Chase in that is
he's hilarious.
And the other guy is Chevy Chase.
That's what I was going to say. As I'm sitting there, I'm like, I could see why this probably drove Chevy Chase insane, because Joel McHale is playing 1981 Chevy Chase. It's his entire persona.
Every joke is really mean to the Chevy Chase character. Like, they're like, never nice to him.
Yeah, it was so, but like, I can't believe no one, like, they're, you know, it was all about the controversy. You know, Chevy Chase is a jerk. It's like, they're totally ripping off his persona. It's Fletch, it's the vacation guy. That was my exact feeling. And then no one's ever asked Chevy Chase that, because I went back. I was so, like, taken with that point that I kept on going back. I'm searching YouTube. You know, and like every chance he gets, you know, I mean, Chevy Chase is sort of like,
he's out.
There's a great, the Washington Post showed up at his house. It's on YouTube. And Chevy, he looks like me right now. He hasn't shaved. Yeah. He looks like, I mean, he's just looks a mess. He doesn't even seem like he realizes they're recording it. And he's just talking about that show. But yeah, that's a really good point. It was Joel McHale as young Chevy Chase playing opposite Chevy Chase.
And it's just it's a little like all those other shows, like Parks and Rec, Scrubs, all these shows. That one's mean. It is really about a bunch of jerks.
And yeah, and the fact that there's like, you think the show starts, you think it's going to be, you know, Joel McHale and the blonde, and then it's going to be Joel McHale and the one who went in Glow and all that. But no, it never does that. And it almost seems like I've never seen a show like that on mainstream television or like a major network where, it seemed not to like its characters very much.
Yeah.
Like Joel McHale is. Go ahead. Sorry.
I highly recommend that documentary, Harmontown.
I got to see that. I used to listen to his podcast because that birthed his podcast.
All right. Harmontown. Here's the thing. That's it. It just goes.
Oh, it's taping. It shows. Okay. Gotcha.
On the road, he takes it to comedy clubs,
and that's the one where he famously drunk. he was hammered and started just going off on Chevy Chase and then playing voicemails that Chevy Chase had left for him, rightfully so, because like he insulted Chevy Chase in front of the whole cast and crew, like, you know. But anyway, that's my wet blanket has been Community, and you know, from
warm
there
warm blanket
to,
you don't want a wet blanket.
Oh, sorry. From there to Dark Side of the Ring has been.
You know what? I watched The Hotel, and I highly recommend. I have HBO Go, which I haven't had. I think it's Go, Max, so you can watch.
Right? Wait, I thought that's it. All done.
Not Max.
Yeah, HBO Max.
No, I have HBO Go.
No.
It's HBO Go and now? Hotels, I guess. No, it's Go. It's Go. I watched all of Larry Sanders. Which I freaking love that show. My God. That is such a good show.
And
could
even
never
this
get
season.
Made today. Could never get made today. But that is a great show.
Well, as far as I know, I think they're working on new episodes, or they were until the whole COVID thing happened.
They
so
just
I
they
don't know.
I mean the last episodes came out within a year.
No,
it's
no.
the one where he goes,
Did
we'll
I say
see
Larry,
it, though.
Larry Sanders.
Oh, Larry Sanders. I thought you were curb your enthusiasm. Sorry. Oh.
Well that's great
hey
too.
Now.
That's awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch those.
And Kingsley. Hank Kingsley's such a great character.
Oh, it's such a good show. And there's so many people in that.
Yeah.
Speaking of documentaries, the Gary Shandling documentary by Judd Apatow was good. Very sad.
Sad.
You could tell just how touched they were by Shandling and how much they loved him. You know, it was a love letter to Gary Shandling. And they chronicled this. I remember the Gary Shandling show. You know, when
this
I was
is
a little
the theme
kid.
To Gary Show.
Show the opening theme to Gary.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
The theme when that you hear as regret. Sorry.
The I watched another documentary just today on HBO Max. The DB Cooper one, which is I don't know. And there's another one. Was it Crazy Insane? It's this whole like 2.5 hour documentary about this woman who advanced the theory of split personalities.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ted Bundy, but it's actually I don't know.
Any of you watched the Exorcist documentary on Shudder? Because I'm planning to watch it tonight.
On the movie or a real Exorcist?
On the movie.
It's on the movie. It's an interview with
William Friedkin, right?
Yeah, I started it. The problem is William Friedkin just doesn't shut the hell up.
He's very professorial
now. You know, it's like he takes his
everything. He's an expert on everything.
He was an arrogant. From the sounds of it, he was an arrogant dickhead when he was making movies. Allegedly, I don't know anything, but just the way he would come off. But now he's seems even more educated and well, this was the history of it all. I wasn't as into it. I'll probably get back into it. I switched it off for a Hulu doc about George Lazenby as Bond. I am Bond or something like that. I highly recommend it. It's like a reenactment as told by him. So you're probably none of it's true, but it's pretty good. About how he became James Bond.
Oh, no kidding. I saw that, but I was like, I'm not going to watch this.
I don't know. It was entertaining.
That's awesome. What about, the last thing we were talking now, we mentioned HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO Max, which is, that's just one of the biggest disasters in like a decade, the way they rolled out all these, the HBO specifically rolled out their streaming service.
And it's still not on Roku.
Right. And Brian doesn't have it. Like,
yeah, neither do I. Neither do I. I have Roku.
Okay. So I have Comcast, so I can get it there. And I got it on my Xbox. But I know if you have cable vision, you don't get it. So, just really bizarre. But Matt, you had pointed out, and then I shared it on my work page. It just like people went nuts. That Comcast doing this thing where they're going to put data caps, basically.
1.2 terabyte data cap.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, obviously it's to punish the streamers or the people who
like me.
Cord.
Because I watch my TV through Hulu Plus TV. So like I'm paying like $55 a month to watch like all my cable through Hulu. Like everything I do is through the internet. I have Comcast. And unfortunately, they're the only provider in my neighborhood. So like they're the only game in town. So I'm basically going to be held hostage by Comcast. And most likely I will have to switch to Comcast for cable just so that I won't have to like pay all these crazy overages on internet.
Who's your internet provider?
It's Comcast.
They're
the only game in town.
Yeah.
I can't even get Verizon here.
And then I looked at my bill. I was like, all right, let me see if this affects me. But what's interesting is they're going to charge you by terabytes, but the bills don't have it in terabytes. It's in gigabytes. So I had to rely on you, Matt, to tell me how many gigabytes are in a terabyte. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to blow this every month because I'm way up there.
Yeah. If you have kids and because everybody's at home, you're blown easily past that 1.2.
And this, I mean, just like, you know, I work online. I work on a website. So it's just like, I'm always, always, always online. But, and it's just like, I mean, I get it to some extent. I guess it's just a pure money grab from what I've read.
Oh yeah, there's no reason for data cap. There's absolutely no reason why they need a data cap.
It's interesting. And one guy pointed out, I mean, a guy in my day job who worked for another cable company said like, well, they never really enforce it. It only hits a fraction of the people because it's a lot of data to use. But I'm like, I mean, come on. Within 2 years, everyone's going to be hitting at least a terabyte or if not more. And, you know, and he's just like, well, they'll just raise it. And I'm like, nah, come on. Like, then why are they doing it? And then this other dude pointed out, a computer guy, a tech guy, was like, look, I've set up my business. I work from home and he does like tech stuff. And he's like, I set up my business with a certain, you know, you told me I had unlimited data. That's what I'm paying for. And now to come in, you're killing my business by threatening me with overages. So
I'm a freelance editor and things, you know, stopped when this COVID thing happened, they're slowly starting to pick up again. But like, I'm working from home and I rely on, you know, grabbing files off of, you know, Google Drive or things like that. You know, everything I do is relying on the internet.
Yeah, and all our phones, you know, if you're at home, your phone automatically goes to Wi-Fi. So, I mean, I was surprised, like, just on my day job, how many people were just like, I don't use anywhere near that. But I don't know if they know, because I do it easily, especially if you're now my kids are home till January. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 laptops, 4 cell phones, 4 iPads, PS4, 2 Xboxes, the Switch. It's just like, I don't know. We're all,
it's just me and my father. And I checked our usage the last 3 months. We just blew right past that 1.2 easily. And just 2 of us here.
It's to see, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it's going.
Especially if you're watching stuff in 4K, if you're streaming Netflix or Disney or HBO Max eventually in 4K, that's, you know, double what you would normally watch in HD. So that, there you go. That's more internet, that's more data that you're going to be using.
And if it's not hitting you guys, Mike and Brian, right now, I'm sure it will. God damn it. It's something to keep an eye on. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Brian, if like your nephew comes over and he starts using all your internet to game and shit like that.
There's no gaming allowed at my house.
We only play board games at my house. That's the only gaming there is.
The other day he made me come over. I made him all happy because I watched 15 minutes of him skin a freaking rabbit in Red Dead Redemption. He was so happy.
Oh, I'll play that with him. Well, I was playing that like a week ago, doing some Red Dead Redemption.
Like his favorite. I just, for his birthday or Christmas, I'm getting him a leather like satchel because he's like, yo, you got to see my satchel. This is what it keeps. He's all into it.
That game is real. I mean, like, I don't have that kid a horse. I don't have the patience for it. Oh, but speaking of video games, the other day, and actually, Matt, I'm embarrassed to say, witness this. I streamed Friday the 13th, the game, on the Mobile Horror Companion YouTube page. For 3 hours and 42 minutes.
And I sat and watched 45 minutes of you doing it.
I can't say I remember any of it, but it was a weird experience because it's so easy from the PS4 to stream to YouTube. So I do it every once in a while. And Brian, we haven't done the podcast in forever. Yeah, you know what I mean? No. So the only content we have is that. But that particular night, was that you, Matt? Was it you just on the using different names leaving comments? Or because all of a sudden... No. I just randomly started getting people leaving comments, like one guy insulting the way I was playing because I was like immediately immersed in the toxic YouTube world. Another guy asking if I have children.
the only comment I left was F. Glenn. That was the
F. Glenn. Yeah, and I.
I wonder. I saw some of those comments, Carlos, and I wonder if that was like a way to try to get your personal information from you, like it was some kind of phishing.
It was. Yeah, I felt I was being groomed. Like I thought they were trying to steal my kids. But that was. I mean, I liked it though. It was interesting. I wanted more of it, and it hasn't happened.
You were very effective as Jason at the end there. You got. I think you got like 6 out of 7 kills.
Yeah, well, that game is,
can you no longer play that game now?
What it is, all right, now allow me to explain. It is, it's less players now than, it's been out for like 3 or 4 years. What they did is they made this major change within this month, because it happened at the start of November. They took away dedicated servers. So let's say like the 4 of us were going to play Friday the 13th. We're sitting in a lobby together and I'm the host, right? So we go into a match and I get killed right away. I'm the first guy killed. And I'm like, screw this. I quit. I don't want to play anymore. It ends the round for everybody.
Oh, wow.
So prior to this, you know, somebody could die and quit, but the match went on until the end. So it's really, it's extremely discouraging because it's a 20-minute game. I mean, you can play up to 20 minutes in Friday the 13th. So, you know, and it takes a long time to get into a match. And they did that, I guess, because they're, you know, they bleeded all the money. They sucked all the money they could out of it because the game was, you know, stymied a year ago by the lawsuit. They couldn't do any updates. So it's kind of like circling the drain a little bit. But for me, it's like so much fun to go on there at this point because it's like either somebody's really good at the game or they're just like little kids who got it for free because it's been given away. So it's just it's a blast to play it. So that's Friday the 13th. We'll see how much longer it lasts. But Matt, what did you think of like the gameplay? Right? I mean, I guess my quality isn't good.
It was all right. I mean, I sat there for 45 minutes watching, so obviously I didn't hate it.
And it looks like the movie, right? I mean,
it does look like. I like that VHS effect thing that they do. Why do they do that? Is that like if Jason's near? That's how they tell you that Jason's near, is like you get that control track VHS.
No, effect. What that is, that means Jason, you can shift, you can morph as Jason. Yeah. So if I see like a player, I do this thing and it does that, that's letting you know that Jason has just morphed. So when you see that, you got to go like this. Yeah. If you're like a good player.
I did notice that, but I like that was cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that it was weird and embarrassing. And I thought about deleting it, but I just left it up. So if you want to go back and watch 3 hours and 40, I'll probably do it right after this actually. Cause I play every week with I'm on the Friday the 13th Reddit forum. I'm embarrassed to say.
When I was driving home from set one night and I was getting alerts I guess it was Friday the 13th and you must've had a big game. Cause we have some mutual friends. And they were all either tagging you or saying, like, we're getting ready to play our game.
So oh, no must kidding.
Have been like a Friday the 13th marathon.
Yeah, I have that. That's like actually right now. I mean, you can't really see. That's messages right now from that dude, Shane. They're on there right now.
I just went through my VHS. I don't know why. I set up VHS in this one little room. And I'm only missing part 2. Of the Friday the 13th, and I have all of the movies on VHS.
The original VHS copies. Oh,
yeah.
Like, that's pretty cool. Part?
Up to the New York City.
What is that? What part?
Six,
is that?
Seven?
Eight, nine? Eight? Nine,
Jason Takes Manhattan?
Eight, I think eight is then, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah. The ones that matter, like the ones when we were kids. And I got a reanimator.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
It's part 3 in 3D on VHS.
I mean, not on V8. It says it, but it's not on V3D.
The Pint of Comics guys have been going through. I think they're still doing that. Like once a week, they review.
Well, tell them to suck it. I got them on VHS.
Well, you could do that. Just join their chat. Tell them to suck it.
Oh, yeah, I should. But you got to type.
They appreciate that. All right. I guess that's it. That's the first podcast we've done in more than a month. So I want to thank you guys for coming on. For sharing your thoughts and all that good stuff. Anyone else got any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Stay safe, wear a mask, wash your hands, practice social distancing, don't gather. Please.
I just want to say that.
Flatten the curve.
Now I have the longest hair out of this group. And like, you guys used to be all the hippies. Look what I got going on. Look at that.
Very nice.
I cut my hair for work.
Spears has a mohawk.
Matt, the only thing you can see. This is normally like what I look like at work every day.
Matt's growing it out too. All right, boys. All right. I gotta go use the bathroom.
All right.
Bye. Later. Take care.